Okay, we can call the meeting of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group to order. It is November 16th at 7:07 PM. I'm gonna take the roll call. Yoon?
Here.
Weisenberger?
Here.
Sierzanowicz?
Here.
Simon? Shay? Schumacher? Shiner, here. Rogers?
Here.
Riley? Peavy? Petrov?
Here.
Kaepernick? Oliver?
Here.
Oates?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Navarro? McAdams?
Here.
McCauley? Christman? Kirk?
Here.
Kaladan?
Here.
Cascatello?
Here.
Kang? Kirk Johnson?
Here.
Ken Johnson? Jessica Iverson?
Here.
Herman? Hartshorn? Grant?
Here.
Graham? Foster? Economos? Duplancy?
Here.
DeSorbo Quinn?
Here.
Creedy?
Here.
Burkett? Brandhorst?
I'm here.
Bonner? Baird?
Here.
Bachner?
Here.
Austin?
Here.
Haraz? Addie? Oh, she just arrived. Let me double check. Liz?
Yes.
Dwetry, we saw you come in, so we've got you for roll call. Oh, Dorada, thank you for checking in. Yeah, we could hear you. All right. Motion and a second to approve the minutes of the October 19th, 2021 DEI Advisory Group meeting. I have one typo that somebody caught, so we would approve them as amended. Can I get a motion?
Good.
Grant, was that? Oh, Farzad, thank you. And a second.
Second.
Simon, thank you. All right. So, Stacy, thank you for catching that. That was on page two. I wrote, Austin said she finds the small groups to be worthwhile. She said large group work will require parameters to ensure everyone is heard. She said she does not think the education should all be put on the chairpersons. I typed shouldn't, which wasn't correct. So that is the adjustment that's being made. And she said that's on page five. So we will get that corrected. All right. So we have a motion and a second. All of those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you. Motion carries.
Great. So before we begin with the rest of the agenda, I would like to do a land acknowledgement statement. So as we begin, we're mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, the Potawatomi nations, and more. We remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any public comments?
Yes, I'd like to make one.
Go ahead.
This is Mindy. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you, Mindy. All right, are there any other public comments? We didn't have anyone else sign up, so we can move on. Next item on the agenda is small group discussion, which is item 4, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I think will tie into item 5, unfinished business, DEI education.
Yes, we can do that one.
Sure.
We are worth doing that. So for everyone in the room, and Lisa will email anyone who didn't get this the last time around, we have a couple of worksheets in front of you, and these have to do with social identity and living. So that's what we're going to cover tonight, is the idea of social identity mapping. And the reason why we do this is because social identities in a larger society often fall into a in-group and an out-group. The words majority and minority don't always apply to tell this full story. If you think about it, like, women make up the majority of the people in this country, but not in positions of power in corporations or politics. So these in and out groups are called dominant and marginalized identities. And so understanding where your identities lie give you a lens to view your experience of work in the larger world. Diversity is multidimensional and encompasses a wide range of social identities. We introduce this social identity idea as an awareness, and it's the key to interrupting bias. Biases aren't random. They show up around the consistent pattern of social identities, which are socialized through our families, institutions, media, and so on. Understanding the range of elements and major elements of diversity and identity gives us the opportunity to invite everyone into the conversation, considering their social identities and their impacts on how they move through the world with either dominant or counter narratives, which subsequently impacts their experience in the workplace. I should note that the information, I know it sounds like I'm reading, these are lessons that I've helped put together and develop with the Race Conscious Dialogues group over the past several years. So this is a little bit of that, and I think some of the exercises and pieces from that group can work well for us. So just to give you an idea of where this is coming from. So as we go through this, I'd like for us to start with just taking a look at the identity impact worksheet, the identity impact worksheet. And so if you look at this, there are a lot of questions here, right? So an identity you feel proud about, an identity others may not know, an identity that's apparent. So why don't you take like 5 minutes to just fill this out for yourself. So we're talking about the identity impact worksheet, the blue one. And once you do that, we can further our conversation. Are you emailing this?
Yes, so for those of you who are on the Zoom call, I just sent that to you a few moments ago via email. And for those of you who are not on the Zoom call, you will find that in your inbox when you return to it. Thank you.
So as you're filling this out, I'll give everyone a couple more minutes. And you're thinking through identities. We do have the second page, so you can use that kind of as a cheat sheet for some identities that you might be thinking of, unless there are others that you want to use. It is okay if you're using an identity more than once, and if nothing fits for one of the questions for you, you can feel free to just skip it. Doing? Do we need a minute or two more? Perfectly fine, especially if you feel like this.
Lisa, I just saw your email. I will resend, or I just saw your message. I will resend the forms to you.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll make sure you're on our distribution email so that you get everything. And I, maybe when it's appropriate, we should introduce our two new members.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, do you want to?
Sure. So yeah, giving everybody a minute to wrap up, I just wanted to introduce two individuals who are joining us to the group. Mary Jane Oliver. Mary, if you can give us a wave. Mary is over there. Everyone, please join me in making Mary Jane feel welcome. She was recently appointed to the advisory group. Also recently appointed is Lisa Petrov, who is joining us on our Zoom call. Do you want to say hi?
Hey, Lisa. Hi, Mary Jane.
Hi, everyone.
Would either of you like to take a moment and just introduce yourselves quickly? Just tell us a little bit, just, you know, maybe two or three things about yourself if you feel comfortable sharing.
Mary Jane? I can start. I'm faculty in Spanish, and so I'm familiar with the room that y'all are in. I'm sorry I'm not there in person. I'm a resident since 2008, homeowner since 2010 in the village, and I work at Dominican, so River Forest is my introduction to Illinois. It's pretty much all I know about the area, so I'm glad to be here and hopeful that this group will make progress for River Forest.
Thank you. Mary Jane?
I've lived in River Forest since 1960, and I taught in a Chicago public high school before I became a realtor in Oak Park and River Forest. So that is what I have been doing. I was educated in the city of Chicago all the time. Private schools, Roman Catholic schools. And that's about my history. And I became interested in this group because in my mind there has been such a play on words, and many things are being like almost dumbed down. And I find that a little frightening, you know. Even the fact that we're taking out the word equality and we're putting in equity, to me, is just unfortunate. I think one has to come before the other, and we're putting one before the other. So I'm here to try to think clearly and see what's actually going on. You know, you read all the news, you hear all the news, you read the papers, you read this, you read that. But it's good to be involved with a group that is actually doing some of the things that you read about. So, thank you so much.
Thank you. Mary Jane, what you're reminding me of is there were some initial documents that everyone in the group received. Things like key terms and also I'm thinking about like our guidelines for dialogue while we're in this room and things like that, that we'll go ahead and make sure that you have. It's just for back pocket information for you to review and consider as we're taking on these issues and talking about DEI.
I will send those out.
Okay, thanks.
And for those of you who have not been able to join us in person previously and for our new members, you may see some table tents in front of everybody and some name tags to help everyone get to know each other. No shame if you forgot it. If you haven't already grabbed it, it is up at the front of the room. And for those of you who are brand new, I apologize, I did not make one for you tonight, but we will have one for the next meeting. So just to help you get to know everybody's names. So, all right, thank you.
Great. So I think everyone's filled out the sheet at this point. Did anyone have any quick reactions as you were filling this out? Is there anything that you thought of or reactions to how you were answering the questions?
That it was difficult to complete some of the forms, some of the fields, and it asked me questions that I had never really considered about my relationship to the world around me.
That's a really good point. We often don't think about what makes us us, right, and the different parts of that. Anyone else?
For me, I guess I was surprised that I used several items more than once.
Sure.
I was like, oh, I said that again.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I guess subconsciously, they may weigh more than I may express.
Sure.
It's like it's in my mind, but I don't always act on it, but it's always kind of there.
Yeah. Does anybody else feel that way?
Yeah, yeah. I did too. I had some things that I used more than once, and I was surprised about it. I could not think of an identity that I don't think about frequently, or at least that I'm aware of.
Oh, yeah. How about others? Did that happen to others too? It's a really good point. There's a lot of identities that we don't think about often. I'll talk to that more, but it often is because, not necessarily always, but often because that's one of the social identities that are dominant in our society versus marginalized. So it's a really good thing to pick up on.
Yeah, I also had a hard time coming up with something that I don't think about a lot, and that I kind of looked at the cheat sheet and I was like, oh, my sexual orientation is something that I like literally never think about because it's what is the dominant sexual orientation, right? So I just don't think about it like ever.
Yeah.
It's probably the one identity that I rarely ever think about. So. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I know for myself, some of the social identities that I fall under that are marginalized, I spent a lot of time thinking about those and how I fall in relationship to the world with them. Yeah, Glenn.
I did not fill out the form. I don't believe that our purpose is to go through self-introspection or speed dating or anything of this nature. I think we're a deliberative body and we should be getting on with the business of this body. I understand that at least one of the chairpersons must feel, if she's going to submit this stuff to us, that she's an expert in this area. But the truth is, I think we as a committee have to decide what we're going to do. We should be proving the agenda. That's what Robert's rules say, and we never do that. And I am not going to be simply a follower and do this. And I don't know if other people feel that way. Some of you may feel that this is meaningful and helpful to you, so I'm not trying to shut it down, but I would simply say that anyone who does not feel comfortable with this or doesn't think we should be doing this should probably speak up and should probably not continue with the exercises.
Yes,
Stacey.
I just want to take one. It's really helpful, and I can really see how it's going to apply to the work that we're doing. And so I don't often have time or opportunity to really think about the breadth of this work this way. So I'm very grateful that you presented this to us to make us a more productive and effective body when the work we're tasked to do. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Stacey. And Glenn, thank you for your comments. I think the one thing that has been pretty clear in our past couple of meetings is that people do want education. They want education around DEI to help us make decisions when we're talking about what we're going to prioritize and when we start to research things. And I think we confirmed at the last meeting and I think several of our meetings that we want to do education around DEI as a group. We want to do education around Village and the Village Works as a group. And then also have part of the meetings be process. So in general, as a committee, we're looking to spend half our time learning and half our time doing business. It may not be exact for every meeting, right? So I think the last time we had a meeting, it was a lot more around the business of what we're doing. So we may have one other session where the education takes longer. But it seems pretty clear from the group that this is the kind of work that you're looking to do.
Yep. There's another hand up. Do you want me to call?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, 1 second. Let me call on somebody who's on Zoom. Mindy, I see your hand up.
Hi, thank you. I have to agree with Glenn on this one. I looked at it, it was interesting. Are we gonna take social emotional intelligence quizzes and share with each other stuff? I mean, I don't understand the purpose of this exercise.
Yeah. Yeah, so one of the things that we hope that you will do with us as we go on this journey, one of the things that we approved with the Guidelines for Dialogue is to take a leap of faith, if you will, and trust some of this process, right? So, Mindy, I would say that. Now, anyone who's not comfortable doing this, looking at these kinds of questions, you know, for different people, for different points in their lives, it's not the right time to do this kind of work. And I totally get that. I understand that. It can be a lot to think about these things. And so I completely respect that for anybody who doesn't feel like they want to participate in any activity that we do.
So I saw one other hand. Was it Liz?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I've worked in this area before, so I've filled out these kind of sheets. What I appreciated tonight is that we're doing it in the context of our task force. So to me, that that gives a lens in which we can look at our work a little more focus. So thank you.
Lisa had her hand up on Zoom. Lisa, were there comments you wanted to make?
I lowered my hand, so no.
Okay, thank you. Oh, let's, Cindy, right?
Sharon.
Oh, thank you, sorry.
That's okay. So I was just going to say, if we were truly self-aware, I think one of the reasons we wouldn't even need to be here. So I think this is really, really key to what we're doing.
Yeah, thanks. We can continue with comments. We can also continue with the exercise. So
there were some more comments. I'd really like to hear them.
Yeah,
Mary
go
Jane,
ahead.
May I read what I wrote on the form? It's just about four sentences.
If you want, we might do some small group work around that. If you want to wait for the small group work to do that, Mary Jane?
No, you know, I can't hear you all the time.
Sorry. We're going to have some small group work, so that will be an opportunity for you to share some of that in reactions if you want to.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The chair accept that.
Great.
I was just going to say, you know, Ron, you said at our very first meeting something that stuck with me. You said, where you sit is where you stand. And that's why this is so valuable for our own understanding, our own self-awareness of where we sit in relationship to the work that is at hand. I use your line a lot.
You got to call me Ken, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
I got messed up. I got switched. Sorry, Ken. Oh my God.
It's a lot of people to remember names of, so I think we all sort of are there. You all had really good thoughts about, you know, pulling this, you know, answering these questions, and a lot of reactions that seemed like necessary to start the work and make sense when we're doing this kind of thing. So as we continue on, we'll look at the second worksheet now. So keeping in mind some of the things that we did on the identity impact worksheet. So this one is around dominant and marginalized identities. And to give you some more information around this, dominance is more access to resources and opportunities. Marginalized is less access. So what I'd like to ask you to do is to highlight on this dominant and marginalized identity worksheet where you might land for each identity under dominant and marginalized. These are some identities. These are not all the questions one of these ads there, but this is a decent and broad enough list to start thinking about. So I'll give you a few more minutes to do that.
Everybody on the Zoom call, do you know which form we're on? I got the form wrong, everybody. Hang on. My bad. It's that one. Sorry about that. I get confused. How's everyone doing with this sheet? We got done? Great. So, as you're looking through this, you want to take note that there are some identities that you filled out in the dominant section, likely, and others that you filled out in the marginalized section. And we want to make sure that we understand and consider that identity is fluid. So there are identities that can change or shift either with the natural passage of time, like ability or age, or choices that you make. So your marital status or, you know, your parental status, and others because of a change of perspective. So embracing one's ethnic heritage in a new way. And you can also consider the identities that you can hide or cannot, right? So there are some identities that are outwardly you can just tell, right? And other ones that if you didn't say anything, nobody would necessarily know.
Identity is not always apparent. It's helpful to think about the ways in which you might identify and the ways in which others might identify you. And those are both important concepts that might not always be the same. So we can think about a couple of questions, and if people want to respond to one or a couple of these questions. So like, what did you notice about these identities as you were filling them out? Are there any identities that you see connections between you and the ones that you think about most, or identities that you are most aware of? So we kind of talked about that a little bit with the other worksheet. Thoughts? What did you notice about these identities? Yeah.
One thing I noticed was one of the marginalized categories that I fit into, I didn't realize.
Interesting.
Marginalized.
Interesting. Does that make you feel any different about it?
No, but it helps me understand why I get irritated sometimes with people who are in the dominant
sure.
category. And I just kind of thought, you know, come on, you're not up to speed here. But,
It's
marginalized.
So, kind of like what we were talking about before, you're spending a lot of time thinking about that identity, and others don't necessarily have to.
Yeah, it just kind of crops up periodically, and I'm always surprised when it does.
Yeah. Interesting. Anyone else?
I find that the dominant categories that I fit into are the things that I think about the least.
Mm. Me too, right? So the idea that the dominant identity is English speaking, I don't think about that a lot. Maybe if I'm around communities who English is their second language, it becomes, but just sort of like, it kind of has to be a lot of people sometimes, right? Like, just day to day, that's not something I think about. And it makes sense that that is dominant identity. Any other interesting things or things that people looked at that and they were like, how did I fill it out that way? Like, why did I fill it out that way? It doesn't happen in any group, in every group, but also people on Zoom, if you want to speak up, feel free to raise your hands or just chime in. Sometimes, and I know for me it's true, I have checks next to both sides. Oh, can you read this? Okay, so we have from Mindy asking if we can please identify in the DEI application or village resolution establishing set forth anything regarding personal journeys. I think that if we go to our meeting discussions and our meeting minutes, there's some of that there, Mindy. Certainly in our first meeting. Lisa, you mentioned that building trust was a change for you,
charge
for you. And so that often requires personal work and introspection as it's relational. And that's right. You know, the way that we see ourselves definitely determines how we see other people, right? And as we talked about before, we might have a bias because we're a part of a dominant, identity or a marginalized identity. If we don't have an understanding of where those identities lie, it may be confusing why we see things a certain way, or it might be hard to analyze why we are thinking of things in a certain way. So that's why this kind of work is really helpful. So thank you for that. But yeah, there are certain identities here where I have checks on both sides. So in some groups of people, I'll feel like I have very white skin and feel like very much into my Latinx heritage. And in other groups, I feel like somebody who is very white, very dominant identifying, you know. And it just kind of depends on the setting and the people who are with. Does anybody have anything that might feel like that, or you might feel? Was I? Oh, go ahead.
I had something. So I told you in the first meeting, I had cancer when I was a senior in high school. And as a result, I did a bunch of surgeries, did all the chemo and all that, and I can't bend my left leg. And, you know, I struggle when we're talking about marginalized versus non-marginalized, am I handicapped, am I not? I think about it all the time. I think about, am I, you know, I never want to, you know, use the parking spaces, I want to make sure, but at the same time, I can't go to a theater or a movie unless I'm sitting on the aisle. And so I have to, you know, I have to watch whatever I do. I have to be either on the aisle because I can't fit in certain things. And because my leg is always stretched out on the airplane, I can only sit in certain areas. And so it's like I struggle with that a lot because I don't know where I fit in, and I don't even think about it. It's been so long, I don't think about it until somebody brings it up, and they may, you know, usually it's brought up in a joke, and then I feel horrible, right? So it's a because I don't think about it as much, I find myself thinking that I'm in a dominant or whatever, but then I realize whenever someone like jokingly talks about the way I walk or something like that, that I am in a marginal class. So, you know, that's just an ongoing struggle that I deal with. That I don't talk about, but, you know, trying to ride both sides, I just find that interesting that I'm always trying to ride both sides, but then it doesn't come out until I have to do something where I can't do something, so.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's a really important story, and many of us probably feel that way at one time or another. And what's important for this committee is to realize that within our community, there are a lot of people who may feel that way, right? So as we make decisions for the village, understanding all the different ways, right, that we might, a decision might make a difference to somebody who has a disability, or somebody who has a different socioeconomic status than the dominant culture. All of those things are really important for us to keep in mind. It's very difficult to do that. It's really difficult to do that. And often, what is important is that people in the room can help us not be a stand-in for, right, that social identity, but can help us with help in a group setting making decisions, right? Disability advocates have a saying that goes, nothing about us without us. And if you apply that to all identities, marginalized statuses, you can see how that can be effective in helping decision making. So I think you guys are making a lot of great connections, a lot of things that you're thinking about within these two worksheets. Glenn, do you have a question?
Yes, I'd like to make a comment. I want to build, just for the sake of the record, on what Mindy said. I realize that most of the people in this room want to go through these exercises, and I certainly have complete respect for that. However, as I read over the resolution or the legislation from City Council, there is nothing in this document which even hints at what we are doing at this moment. And in fact, there are several things that we are charged with doing that we haven't even begun to do, even though they're identified as initial goals. And my own personal belief, and this is going to get sensitive, I believe that we have a chairperson who wants to do it this way. And I understand that the majority apparently want to follow this lead. But I don't think this is what we're all about. And I don't think this was contemplated when City Council adopted this resolution. I'm stating that simply for the record.
Yeah, thank you. I can't recall exactly, Glenn, as we were making the decisions around the DEI committee. Certainly, at different points at the village board table, Ken and I have expressed the way that we're going about the committee, and have expressed about how we're doing parts education and parts business. And a lot of what we need to do is based on our thinking around DEI. And so this helps us with doing those other things.
I just want to add to that. I believe it was the last meeting where it was suggested, and I believe voted on, that the chairs would provide educational, actually I think you brought it up, education to the group as they see fit. So I'm a little confused about the conversation, but maybe if you can enlighten me on what you meant when you brought it up last week, or the last session, that we would do that. How is that different?
Well, that motion did fail, but it did have a lot of support. And what I was contemplating was not that we would go through these introspection kind of T-group analyses, but we would have presentations, maybe from legal counsel, or maybe for somebody in the fire department, or maybe somebody in the police department. And I thought we would have the opportunity to listen to such person, ask questions, try to find out what's going on in the community. I mean, since we started, the only thing we've done is adopted some definitions, and now we're exploring ourselves. I think we're way behind in what we should be doing, and I'm stating this for the record because I know I don't have support on this.
Yes, so the funny thing about DEI work is that it often takes a long time, and it's not a straight line. So I think we have to recognize that when we go into this work. And while we do want to come up with priorities and what we want to do and figure out what we need to know to do those things, we have been doing that and been working towards that in several of our meetings, but it takes time. So for these sheets around dominant and marginalized identities, a couple of things to point out here. When we think about those two words and meanings, some people have a hard time recognizing privilege and saying, I work hard, I don't get things handed to me. And the thing that we need to know is that privilege isn't bonus points for you or like your team, right? What it is unfair penalties to the other person, other people, other team that you, that they get that you don't. So privilege isn't the presence of perks and benefits, it's absence of obstacles and barriers. And that can be a lot harder to notice. So as we're thinking through our work, right, how do we remove barriers? How do we remove obstacles for the people in our village? If you have a hard time recognizing your privilege, and it can be difficult, make no mistake, it can be difficult for each one of us to recognize where we have privilege, right? What you can do is focus on what you don't have to go through and let that fuel your empathy and action. And I should note that this idea comes from Marie Beecham, who works with DEI. So we are, to recap, we are generally more aware of our marginalized identities. And if I were to tell you one of the most defining features of my life, it might be that I'm a mom, right? Or potentially like that I'm a woman, right? So generally, people with marginalized identities have to know what the norm is, and you guys kind of identified that, right? And live their life within that norm. So because of that extra work within your marginalized identity, you tend to process the world through those lenses. So all of this is not to shame you about having dominant identities or marginalized identities. It's just a reality check on what is the water that we swim in our community and throughout the, you know, as we live and go through our lives. So identities that fall into marginalized identities are more likely to encounter bias. Even Sheryl Sandberg from Facebook, who has taken on empowering women in the workplace, admits that she finds herself calling on more men than women in meetings. So what you need to understand is that the dominant narrative is so powerful that both sides can act from that, right? And it's because we have a bias around that. So if we can group ourselves into small groups, I don't know how many people we have.
Hey, Erica?
So in the room, hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Four. I think that's four groups of four, kind of. And within the Zoom room, you can be one group. And we'll go over a couple of questions to think about around these worksheets. Yeah, Mindy, what did you want to mention?
I just wanted to comment on Ken's story, because I think it doing this work is really important to understand being dominant in certain environments or cultures. Is you can be dominant in one, or like Ken said, in other situations feel marginalized. So a lot of the nuances of this work is depending on where you are and where you sit. So I just wanted to comment that it's very situational.
It's a really good point, Mindy. It really depends on where we are, right? So if you are in a room of other people who have gone through the same thing that you have, and that room and the space has been thoughtfully considered to make sure that, you know, everyone in that room doesn't have any obstacles, you're going to feel, you're not going to feel the obstacles, right? It's when you are in spaces that haven't necessarily considered that, where you, as I mentioned before, right, there's an obstacle for you, right? You, there is you not having the privilege of having the norm, right? So if you will group yourselves into four groups, and I'll write some questions on the board for you all to consider with each other.
For those of you who are on the Zoom call, just give us a second to change up the audio a little bit so that you all have a conversation about yourselves.
I can chime in. Hi, everyone. My name's Draytree. I don't know that I'll share anything different from what has been discussed, but I think it resonated with me, as others have said, why this matters and why we're talking about this here, is that the ways in which not only we perceive our own identities, but the ways in which other people perceive our identities impacts how we see the world. It impacts how we think about diversity, equity, and inclusion, which will then impact the way we make recommendations for the village as part of this council. And so I think it's really important for each of us to understand the perspectives we bring to the table as influenced by the ways in which we navigate the world. And separating that from identity is it just doesn't, that's just not the way things work. So I think it is important for us to do this as a group. And I think that's why that matters. In terms of filling these handouts out, I have either the blessing or the curse of doing this as my job. So this is not new for me, but I do think it was helpful for me to just reflect again on there are aspects of my identity that are very, at least perceived to be very salient by others. And those are things that I think about a lot. But again, given the work that I do, I think even the pieces of my identity that are absolutely in the dominant category are things I think about a lot, because, and I my sense is we will try to do this more as a group. I find it to be my responsibility to constantly center in who is the most marginalized in the context that I operate in. And that forces me to reflect a lot on ways in which my education, the access to resources I have, et cetera, impact my kind of gut reaction versus how I should be thinking about the ways in which people who are more marginalized in particular contexts are experiencing the world and in our case, the village.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they couldn't hear us and that we were in the breakout room. But yeah, same. I've done these kinds of exercises before. Recently, I'm teaching a class on masculinities this semester. And so I've come to understand how much of a blind spot my own cisgendered identity is for me, how that is something that I just don't think about enough. And yeah, I know this is work that everyone has to do. You can't make, how can you make a place welcoming when you have no idea who doesn't feel welcomed and how that relates to your own, like how do you know what your blind spots are if you don't have to look at the varied components, elements, factors that weigh in on people's experiences, etc. So however, as a person who works at a Catholic institution and being a non-believer, that is something that I do end up thinking about a lot, because I'm constantly coming up against elements of the institution's culture that are deeply Catholic and or religious. So
well, I think having done this work myself, I think there's different ways to come at it. And this is definitely an approach of trying to figure out how people feel. My experience has been trying to bring people together on things that they can relate with each other about, builds trust. And if this exercise is about building trust, I get it. If it's about everybody coming to the appreciation that there's, and I'll just say it, you know, if there's every cis white male is a misogynistic SOB, this is not a helpful exercise. These divisive things are not, again, in my experience, they do not bring people together.
I don't think it, for me personally, this kind of work is not about what other people's, this is about myself and understanding what my limitations are in my perception of reality, right? Because that is coming from the lens of my identities, right? So for me, none of this is about judging another person's anything.
This is the road, and I totally agree. I think the purpose of the exercise was to really learn more about yourself and really look into yourself, and I guess a lot of those terms or, you know, questions that were asked, I really had to spend little time thinking about it. We did that a couple of weeks, a month ago already, and I really look at it and spend some time thinking about it. And I think it was a great exercise not to look at other people and who other people are, but who I am, who each individual person in this group is. And I think that was a really good exercise. And I think that's the part of this process that's called research and education. And I think we should never skip that step.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dorota. And, you know, after the first exercise, I had trouble answering some of the questions, and going through the second part of it, it helped me fill in and think about the identities that weren't, that I wasn't thinking about all the time, and that weren't necessarily something in this context or in a professional or personal context that, you know, were top of mind for me, but that were showing up, and that were showing up for others, and knowing that those exist. So I appreciated the exercises.
I guess I kind of think that it's maybe both ways. Like, in other words, yes, working on yourself and, you know, really coming to realize what you believe, but also I found it very helpful in further understanding me by listening or looking at what other people thought too. So that helped me, like I might even think something about somebody else, but then their responses to those questions or their responses to things might not even be what I thought they would say. So I definitely think, yes, I can reflect on my own thoughts and opinions, but it is equally beneficial to hear what other people's, you know, thought and reactions are. For me, that's what I thought.
I'm still not sure that I got the actual exercises. What I saw was an identity list and also then two columns of marginalized and dominant identities. I don't know that I saw the actual exercise, because my understanding was there was also some, like, which are the identities you think about more. So I didn't see that what she shared with me wasn't what you all had, but whatever. I've done these kinds of things, so I know what they are, but. I'll have a short anecdote. So, you know, I'm a college professor. My son is just becoming college age, and he's taking a quote unquote gap year, trying to get him motivated to go to college. And a friend of his is taking some classes at Triton,
And me, like an idiot, I ask my kid, I'm like, oh, did you talk to so-and-so about his classes at Triton? And he looked at me like I was from another planet. Like, why would I talk to him about school? And, you know, as a college professor, of course I think, you know, like kids, they're going to talk about college, going to college, classes. Never in a million years would that be the conversation that would come up, right? Like, how's classes at school? Like, at school, Mom. And that's where my own, you know, PhD level, it's like, I'm not in touch with reality when it comes to that kind of thing. You know, like, no, people don't care about school.
Lisa, this is Mindy. I've got a sophomore in college, and I could say the most brilliant thing on the planet, but if I say it, forget about it. I think it's the age. It's, I just, you know, they, when I was going through college and got my master's degrees, I was always shocked how much my parents learned between the time that I left for college and when I got my first job. That was supposed to be funny, guys.
It's true, though, you know, of course, you know, your parents become much smarter as you get older. You realize that they knew more. But in for me, it really was kind of a realization of how out of touch I am with his reality, that it would even occur to me that of his own free will, he would talk about school with a friend. You know, in some ways, I get it. I get it. You know, that's just not what they care about. And that's perfectly fine. It's just my own bias, obviously, towards the importance, the centrality of education, et cetera, where, you know, 18-year-old male, not necessarily.
Very true.
I have a question, though. I mean, I've tried to catch up on all the previous meetings and minutes and all of that stuff, but are there villages, other villages in the area that have done this kind of thing where hire a consultant to do some kind of a study? Have we got, you know, that?
Yeah, there are. We haven't gotten to that part, but the village of River Forest participates in a group-wide, like they call it the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus. I think one of the big topics they've addressed this year is diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think the last meeting that they had, I think Ken attended, Kathy Aducci attended, and Katie Brennan attended. And so there's a lot of really good stuff included in the, they call it the mayoral Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus seemed to be really, really cool. And then there's, I don't know, three or four groups that they highlighted, I mean, towns that they highlighted on their website as well. I didn't pull that information. I didn't print it. But if you go to the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, it's all right there online. One group, you know, did a video about their town and how diverse it is. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff out there. The other thing I would say is we have the benefit of the village also passed a resolution to partner with Dominican. And I don't know, is it, you're working at Dominican, right? So I, can you, you might be able to speak to that as well. I mean, the work that Dominican's been doing is just phenomenal as well. So, and they work with different communities as well.
Okay. Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, is that?
I muted my phone. It is called exactly. Flipping through my binder here. Yeah, here we go. Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus.
Okay.
And Ken would probably know more about that. And for people that are interested in the TRHT, that's Dominican's process. There's a whole bunch of stuff online as well about how they approach this kind of work. And the municipal work, as everyone probably recognizes, is very different than doing corporate work where you're working with, you know, one entity. Municipality work is kind of different. I wonder if they forgot that we're muted. Does anybody have a direct line into one of the chairs?
Looks like they're still doing small work, small group work in the classroom.
Yeah, they're still talking. So, and are there a village employees that are also part of this? And are these all non-village employee folks?
Other people want to chime in, but my understanding is that's why they made Lisa a co-chair, so that the village administrator, although she's the acting administrator, would be intimately involved in this process.
Okay, all right.
So, this group here, if you can choose a leader to talk about this first question, what reactions do you have? The one in the back, what connections do you see between the identity impact worksheet and dominance and marginalization? And then a group in front here, if you want to take on what do you think?
the identities you think about most, land with dominance and marginalization, and then this group over here. Where do you think about the least, right? Somewhere in the, And then the group on Zoom, you can take on, why do you think that is? So some of these things we may have said already, and that's okay. We're just sort of affirming. Yeah. It sounded like you guys were having a great discussion, so there might be some tidbits that you all found unique and new. So first group. What reactions do you have to filling these notes out?
It's like our group, we didn't have an issue with filling out the forms. We feel that using these terms, reviewing these terms, speaking these terms, really boils down to what we feel work is about. Is addressing the dominance and the marginal and being able to speak to them openly and freely. And we like hearing the interactions.
Wonderful. Any other insights or thoughts before we move on? No? Thank you for that. Yeah, I appreciate that. The group in the back, you have the next item. What connections do you see between the identity impact worksheet and the dominance and marginalization point?
I second that.
So one of the things that we noticed is that we all had identities that were dominant, we all had identities that were marginalized, and we lots of us had identities that did shift. We really liked what Ken had said about situationalness too, like that came up. And then in addition to that, one thing we talked about in the context of River Forest is that wherever we stand in with relationship to any of these, somebody in our community is on the other side. So we're representing not only the viewpoint that we hold, but then also we need to be aware of, sensitive to, empathetic towards, and compassionate to that other side, whether it's being a marginalized position and looking at a dominant group or being a dominant group and looking at the array of marginalized positions from where you stand. So as we make decisions that you talked about, we need to find a way, a lens to use for our work that can look at all of this.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Thank you. Anything else from you all?
I just think that, I said right there, it's just understanding that there are two sides to every story, and not one side is perfect. Another, you know, could be in a dominant fashion, but you also, there are some issues that have to work to your favor. And so we as a group, like you're saying, define the lens where we are empathetic to both sides, listening to both sides, and trying to work as a group to proceed on. And I think that you hit it right there.
There are many truths. There are many truths. Thank you. Next question. Where do you think the identities that you think about most land with dominance and marginalization?
It's kind of personal, I guess, individually, but I think generally the ideas that we think about most are the ones that are, you know, marginalized, at least from, you know, I think that's where we sort of landed on. And sometimes it's because of a member of a family that we're thinking of, a marginalized member of a family or a friend or a community or whatever. And then we talked about the intersectionality of, you know, even, you know, when I talk about my marginalized family member, she's got a heck of a lot of privilege within her own marginalized community compared to others in that same situation, right? So now maybe just being others and family members like that, because they have a lot.
That's a really good point. And something that I all the time, you know, is acknowledging where I fit into the dominant, you know, culture within the US, within the forest, within where I work, all these different spheres, right? And being able to acknowledge that, it just makes it easier to understand other people a little bit more, or to be open to, you know, what they are going through.
Yeah, and I wanted to add one other thing to my group. One of the things we talked about. Can you hear me okay?
No.
If you could talk louder,
yes, I'll try.
Yeah.
One of the other things our group talked about is in terms of listening to voices. Both these other groups brought up is being willing to ask others, what does this look like from your standpoint? For example, something as small as, well, this is how we do this here, you know, rather than ask input on that, the answer becomes, this is how we do it. When you're here longer, you'll understand, kind of thing. And that can apply in really little things. They can find some of the bigger things that our task force is dealing with, but it's important for the class.
Absolutely. When I think about my own, like in my work setting, I have recalled after doing this kind of thing, right, where I would give someone, be like, here's how it is, let me tell you, right, something new into an organization. And what that does is it stifles their creativity potentially, right? And what their full self can bring to the organization, right? If you say, just do it this way. And I think that's very worth noting too for something like our village, right? And one thing that I'll note too is that a lot of that comes with trust. So, you know, if we're thinking about the community, for example, people trusting us to be able to give that kind of feedback. It's noted that, like, if somebody tries to tell you something, especially someone from a marginalized group, somebody tries to tell you something and you are closed off to the idea or you don't pay attention, unless they have a bond with you and a lot of trust with you and built up that relationship, they may just stop telling you what's wrong, right? You've kind of broken that trust with them, you've disconnected the relationship, and you won't hear from that person or potentially a group, right, what their needs are, which it's like the opposite of what we're doing here, right? So that's something to think about too as we go through this process. Any other comments? Thank you for that. For the group back there, where do you think about the least and how does that connect?
So we did not get to that question.
if you want
we,
to.
We spent most of our time talking about our reactions this exercise.
Okay.
And I think there, and I don't want to, I'll do my best to summarize. I don't want to speak for the group, particularly because I was probably the one who did not share the opinions of the rest of the group. So it's an interesting challenge to be a spokesperson for that. But I think that some of the things that were brought up about this exercise were concerns around these kinds of exercises pigeonholing people or sort of forcing people to choose sides, that it can lead to divisiveness versus, more inclusion. So those were some of the reactions in the group of this exercise.
Yeah.
My reaction is not that. My reaction that I shared is that there is no way to be successful at this kind of work unless we tell our own truths and we're willing to listen to the truths of others. But it was a I think it was an enlightening discussion, probably for all of us, because there was a lot of different. Yeah, we also got into a discussion on privilege, and it's kind of an outshoot of that, and what what does privilege really mean, and how does it show up?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I talked a little bit about that in the explanation of some of these things, and it is interesting to note that, like I said, for myself, I experience all sides of this sometimes, depending on where you're at, right? So it looks binary on this page, but it isn't necessarily that. What it is acknowledging what is the norm for us as a society, and where do you fall in that, right? And for us as a collective, it's not to say that we dislike or should be anti, or we don't have to think about one, a dominant identity versus a marginalized identity, or vice versa. What it is an opportunity to see the spectrum of truths. And for yourself to think about where do you fall, where have you fallen in the past, and your reactions to that. So I can appreciate the thoughts for sure. But it, like I said, it looks binary on this page, but it doesn't necessarily. So thank you for that. Did you have something?
Oh, well, I was going to say, I don't know if I could talk it, but you mentioned about like the norm. So we have this kind of like dominant versus marginalized piece, which I thought was kind of interesting because this came up in our group with the idea of like, if you take the person who fits all these dominant categories is not the norm anywhere in this country. Like, the number of people who are all of these is very, 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 very small, right? So really the norm is to have kind of all of these different identities, as part of us, right? And so identifying, acknowledging and, recognizing where they fall, I think is important. So there's like this idea of like, it's almost less about the norm and more about what we're expected to aspire to. This is what you expect of people. Anyone who doesn't fit this is less than, right? And, the less you hit it, the more less than you are. Getting away from that mindset and thinking of it more as like everyone who's on this page and in ways off this page is, there's no less than or more than or things to aspire to. You just are. And kind of getting this away from this idea of like a norm.
It is such a good thought. I appreciate you mentioning that for sure. Yes, in the moment, I don't know that I have a different word either, but I can certainly think about it. But you're right. And the other side of that, too, is to
as someone in a marginalized identity to not think less of those in the dominant identity, right? But for our work here, just how can we break down those obstacles for people who were not always considered, right? Because we consider a truth to be more of the dominant.
But I think that we do need to hear to feel that, you know, some of these exercises in some way make the group divisive. We don't want to do that, but we also want to hear, you know, both sides of the coin as well. So, you know, I think we should continue. I encourage you to continue to speak up if you have issues or concerns, but also realize that diversity is uncomfortable in space. So, you know, it's always going to be uncomfortable. And I believe, hopefully, that we have the type of group that will leave this room. You know, none of us are going to run each other down in the parking lot, right? We actually will, you know, we're going to listen to each other, we're going to talk to each other, and we're going to try to consider all the sides. Try to come up with something that, that will help us move forward. And to do that, we need all sides. So you know, definitely feel free. I mean, we don't have time, but you know, I think of the discussions I had when I was running as a trustee about the whole Black Lives Matter. I could go into that for years because Black Lives Matter, no, all lives matter, no, this, that, and the other. There's so many different pieces of that. So it's too much to go into, but it took me a while to even think of hearing on the other side, you know. So, you know, we have to listen and take in what people are saying. And I think as a group, I want the people that may feel marginalized by their conversation, not necessarily their group, but their conversation, to feel that you can, even though the point we're saying that there's a dominant conversation and then there's a marginalized conversation. Same thing. You know, it's not just in nature, but it's also we're just, you know, our discussion in this group. As a marginalized opinion, how do we make sure that that opinion gets heard and gets inclusive into our discussion? So we have to make sure we will continually promise to you guys that we will continually make sure to listen as these discussions get raised.
Thanks, Ken. For the Zoom group, the last question is, did you guys answer the last question? Is there a spokesperson?
We, not so much get to the last question, but we touched on a bunch of the things that have already come up. I think that we generally don't think about our dominant identities because those don't have many barriers, right? We become aware of an identity when there is a barrier that's presented. And that's the benefit of being in a dominant identity is you're not coming up against barriers. And that's why you don't have to think about it so much, at least makes, you know, sense from to me. But we also talked about the process of doing these kinds of exercises and the idea that, you know, it can be divisive, but it doesn't have to be divisive. It's in how we do them, how they're facilitated, how we participate, that they, talking about difference doesn't have to include value judgment. You know, I don't have to think better or worse of somebody because they experience something differently than I do.
Yeah, thank you for that. I think that is actually, I love that comment. I think that's a really good place to end this discussion for this evening, because I think that's very true. And so with that, thank you, Zoom team. And yeah, thank you everyone for your work tonight in this
in this education that we're doing around DEI. So appreciate it.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
I think that here you went. You're right, the biggest trip down. So, but if you guys have things that you want, we agreed as a group we were going to move forward in education as part of it. So, if there are things you want to see, please send us an email, and then, you know, we may not have it overnight, to be clear, but, you know, we're willing to listen to it and try to put something together, bring it, we plan on bringing in speakers. These are all things we're going to do no matter what, but we never want. Just because we covered one thing this week, today, does not mean we're not going to do anything else further. So please feel free to offer up suggestions for education, because the education is coming from the group. So, you know, let's make sure that we, you know, do what everybody kind of wants to hear. And we'll work our darndest to make sure that we are inclusive in whatever everybody wants to hear. We have what we think is good, but we want to hear it too. So whatever you guys want to hear, we can pretty much make a promise that we will try our best to make sure that that point of view also comes to the educational piece of this group.
So if I can just jump in, Mindy had asked a question on the Zoom chat about training on Open Meetings Act FOIA through the Illinois Attorney General's office. That website's still down, so we'll let everybody.
Lisa, I was actually going to mention this in new business. I talked to the public access counselor this last week, I guess. And that training could be made available to the Illinois Municipal League.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a firewall, but that might be something.
Okay. Thanks, Abby. I appreciate it. I will look into that. Mindy also asked about a process. So when Ken is talking about, let us know if there's something you want to hear, something you want to share. So for tonight, for instance, Glenn had shared some resources on Robert's Rules of Order that were included in your packet. So he sent that to the email address that we've established, deiagchair@vrf.us. And every email that comes to all of us. So if I'm out of the office, if I miss some things, it gets caught, right? And so send us thoughts. That's way it comes to us, and we're not violating the Open Meetings Act through our email communications. And as chair people as a group, we continue to talk about what's going to be in the next agenda, what's on deck this week for education process, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think Ken, you made a really good point about how it all gets sequenced out. But in case anybody wants to know, that is how you can get information to us.
My question is more specific than that, though, and it relates to what Kim was saying. So are you the gatekeepers of what information goes out to everybody? Or is that a way we share information with each other?
So
I'm unclear about, you know, that DEIAG chair is a great tool. But for instance, you know, I sent a proposal about transparency and timeliness. I sent that to you guys on the 9th, the 8th of October. And I'm confused as to why. So it's not on the agenda. I mean, I don't. So if the point is just to send you stuff so you can ignore it, which makes me feel marginalized, by the way. Or, you know, I mean, what's the process for the group deciding stuff? Or are you guys just the decision makers? I'm unclear as to what the purpose of it is.
So as chairs, we do determine the agenda, Mindy. I think that we did respond back to that email, and determining the agenda is based on what we feel as chairs is needed on any given week, to Lisa's point, and what can be added that makes sense for that week, so or for the meeting. So
So for the record, you are the gatekeepers, and you determine what communications go out to the rest of the group.
We're the chairs of the committee. So I believe we
had on one of our agendas that might be missing.
No,
that we were going to talk through it and we didn't get to it.
Well, on the October 16th agenda, there was a memo in the packet that explained to address Mindy's suggestions, and we appreciate the suggestions about how to make sure that we are acknowledging receipt of messages so that nobody thinks it just gets lost in the vortex, and that in fact it doesn't get lost in the vortex. So our goal is, and part of the reason we established that email address is to ensure that there are multiple eyes on every piece of communication that comes into the group. We will work to acknowledge that email within 48 hours. And so in that case, you know, Mindy did send an email, Erica sent an acknowledgement to it, and then we established a process. And although, Mindy, it may not have been exactly the process you suggested, our goal in putting together that communication piece, that email, and the commitment to work to respond quickly to meet the interests of what you were trying to accomplish and what you suggested. So we may not have implemented the suggestions exactly as you made them, but we did agree that there needed to be a better mechanism for communication and acknowledgement of emails.
Yep.
It goes to what Ken was saying. We can send you everything in the world, but if you're not going to look at it and take it serious, then what's the point of even putting any energy into it?
I don't think it's looking at something and not taking it seriously, Mindy, but it is a matter of whether we have time on any given agenda to review it as a team. So if you're looking to add something to it as an agenda item, and I think I take Lisa's.
No, I'll go with the analogy or the subject that Ken was addressing. So if somebody sent in some suggestions for education, will that get shared with the broader group, or are you guys going to figure out whether you like that suggestion or not and either push it forward, or are you just going to squash it because it's not in your current vision of what you want to see happen?
So I think that we definitely will take all ideas under consideration. We can't do everything at once. To our point earlier that this work is long-term. So if you send us something, we can have that conversation and determine when it can fit into the agenda.
I think there's kind of a distinction here. I think there are suggestions that are made to the chair that we would send to this address. But there are also documents that we would send to you that we want shared with the entire group. And I believe if the document is in the latter category, it must be shared. I mean, I believe you have a responsibility to share everything that's been submitted to you where the sender says, I'd like this to be shared with the group. Now, I don't know what Mindy put in her email or her memo or how it was worded, but I think there are two different kinds of communications here.
So that's a good point, Glenn, in relation to different kinds of communication, and we can think through that. And make it provide some clarity at our next meeting.
But
I am recognizing
that
it is 9 o'clock. So if there's anything else, Lisa.
Yeah, we need to talk about the next meeting date. So the next regularly scheduled meeting of the advisory group is December 6th. There is a special village board meeting that night. So obviously we will not be present. With the next meeting after that, let me check. Would be December 20th. So we can check to see if we have a quorum on the 20th or whether we need to cancel that meeting. The one thing we were talking about is can we find another date that month so that we ensure we at least have one meeting during the month of December. And so we were looking at either December 7th or 14th. And I'm checking with Dominican University to see if we will have the space available because they're going to start running into their final schedule. So if we can do just a quick show of hands as to who might be available on December 7th, I'm trying to get a sense of if we have a strong date for the group that I should start to work toward. They're both Tuesdays.
You said December 7th.
So let's get a quick show of hands, December 7th. So most of the room and many of the people on the Zoom call. I'll still follow up with an email and verify this, but I just wanted to get a sense of whether or not we would even have anyone available. Is December 14th show of hands? That's also a Tuesday. So roughly the same amount of people. Okay, so what I will do is I will follow up with an email asking you to just confirm which date and so we can check and see what night we may have a stronger quorum.
Do you say not the 20th?
Well, I'm checking to see. So I'll check all of the dates. That's a good comment. I'll check the 7th, 14th, and 20th because I think we want to make sure we have at least one meeting next month and we'll look and see where we have the strongest amount of anticipated attendance.
Check the 20th.
Oh yes, check the 20th. Show of hands. Good, yeah, good comment. All right, so a lot fewer people. Okay. So more than likely we'll end up just with one meeting next month and we'll pick the date based on availability. All right. Motion to adjourn.
I'll motion.
Okay, I'm trying to learn everybody's name. Pat Kirk, thank you. And John Brandt. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate your time.